Nation. Hello, you're listening to Make It Clear. This is Brother Hugh. Today I'm talking about eternal life. God promises it to anyone and everyone that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and accepts Him as their own personal Savior. An example of this is found in John chapter 6, verse 47, where Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." I like this verse because it is short and to the point. Now, there are two very important words in this verse that many people either miss or misunderstand. The first word is believe. Now, if you listen to Make It Clear very much, you will know that the Greek word for believe is pisteo. It means to put your trust in, to rely upon, or to depend upon. When the Bible says to believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation, it is not saying that you believe that He existed like a small child believes in Santa Claus, or like some people believe in aliens. It is telling you to put your faith in Him, to trust Him to take away your sins. It is like a small child that is in a second-story window of a house that is burning. His father tells him to jump, but the child is afraid because it is so high. Then the father tells the child, "Jump! Don't worry, I'll catch you." The child will jump only because he believes his father. He jumps because he trusts what his father tells him. It is the same thing here with Jesus Christ. We are headed to hell. We hear the gospel which tells us to trust Jesus. He will catch you. The child has to make his decision. If he stays in the house, he will die. If he jumps, he will live. Jesus promises us everlasting life. The second word I want you to look at is the word hath. The word hath means that you have it right now. It is used of a possession. So this verse is telling us that if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we put our faith and trust in Him to save us from our sins, that we have right now everlasting life. Everlasting life is not something that God will give you someday. God gives it to you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. John 1:12 tells us that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we become His children. Imagine that. You become a child of the God that made this universe and everything in it. Now remember this. God has no grandchildren. You cannot get into heaven because your mother is a good Christian, or your father is a great minister, or anybody else in your family, or any other people that you may know or have connections with. It doesn't make a bit of difference. We are all responsible for our own sins, and we are all responsible to accept Jesus as our own personal Savior. Once you have everlasting life, can you lose it? I have known many people that believe that you can lose your salvation. Some of them may tell you about Galatians 5:4, where the Apostle Paul talks about Christ becoming of no effect to some people, that they have fallen from grace. They will tell you that a person can fall from grace and lose their salvation. Let's look at this verse and see what it says. "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." No effect means useless. Now who has Jesus become useless or of no effect to? Paul tells us who. Christ is useless to the people that are justified by the law. If you are trying to be justified in God's sight by trying to obey the law, and this would be, for example, obeying the golden rule, obeying the Ten Commandments, giving your tithes and your offerings to your church, and other things like trying to live a good life, then you are lost and you are on your way to hell. Paul says that if you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. These are people who have never been saved. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that the law cannot save us. If you will read Galatians 2:16, Paul tells us that the works of the law cannot save you. Only faith in Jesus Christ can save us. Some people believe that if you just live a good life, that God will let you into heaven. They have ideas such as, God will put all of your works, your good works and your bad works, on a balance scale to see if you have more good works than you have bad works. They think that if your good works will outweigh your bad works, that God will let you into heaven. But that is not what the Bible tells us. In Titus 3:5, it says that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. If you could get to heaven by being good, then Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us that we could go around heaven, we could brag about, you know, about how good we were when we got there. But God won't allow us in because of good works, because He set the price for salvation, and then He paid the price Himself. The price for salvation is way more than we can afford. That's why God had to take care of it. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." So Jesus said that His sheep know His voice, and they follow Him. Are you one of Jesus' sheep? He goes on to say that He gives them eternal life, and that they shall never perish. It's like He says in John 3:16, "Those who believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." He also tells us here that neither shall any man pluck them out of His hand. For a Christian to lose his salvation, it means that somebody would have to come along and pry open God's hand and take them. I don't know of anybody who is powerful enough to do that. If you think that you can lose your salvation, you are fooling yourself. You are not powerful enough to lose it. If you were that powerful, you wouldn't need God to start with. You could just go out and create your own universe. Not only that, but Hebrews 6:4 through 6 tell us that it is impossible for somebody who has been saved, if they shall fall away, or in other words, if they shall lose their salvation, to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify Jesus again. Jesus only died once for our sins. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." One thing that is important to realize is what a Savior is. I have an illustration to help people see what a Savior is. Let's say that you are 10 miles from shore and something happens to your boat and it sinks and you can't swim. Along comes another boat as you're crying out for help. Now, what is a Savior? Let's say that the man in the boat throws out a book for you entitled "How to Swim in 3 Easy Lessons." Would you call that man a Savior? I don't think so. You may have a few other names for the fellow as you're going down with your last breath, but I doubt that it would be Savior. Now let's say that he gets out of the boat, jumps in the water, and shows you different methods of swimming. He shows you the dog paddle, the backstroke, the breaststroke, and a few other things. Is this person a Savior? No. You might call him an example, at best. How about if he throws you a life preserver, pulls you into his boat, gives you a blanket, dries you off, gives you some hot chocolate, and takes you about a mile from the shore, but then he sees he's running late, so he throws you back into the water so that he can continue on his way. Is he a Savior? No. Maybe an Indian giver. He didn't really save you because you will still drown 1 mile away from the shore as quickly as you will 10 miles from shore. None of these examples are a Savior. A Savior is one who gets you out of the water and into his boat and takes you all the way to shore. Jesus didn't just give us a book with instructions in it. He was not just an example for us to follow. He did not take us partway to heaven and then cast us back out again. When Jesus saves us, He stays with us through this life and takes us all the way and sets us on heaven's shore. That's what happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He has stated in Hebrews 13:5 that He will never leave us or forsake us. And in John 6:37, He said that He will never cast us out. Everyone wants to go to heaven, or at least to their idea of heaven. I have never talked to anyone that wants to go to hell when he dies. But if you want to go to heaven, you must go God's way. According to Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Some people believe that it doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you believe something. And they are wrong. Just as you must have faith, it does matter what you have your faith in. Are you trusting in your good works to save you? Are you trusting in your money to buy you a place in heaven? Do you think that somebody in heaven is going to help you out by putting a good word for you, you know, in there talking to God? None of these things will help you. You may say, yeah, but every little bit helps. No, when it comes to your salvation, it won't make a bit of difference. In Romans 3:28, Paul tells us, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And then in Hebrews 10:26, we read, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now notice what that says. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That's because when God saves a person, he really saves them. We are not put on probation when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We become his children. As children of God, he loves us, he watches over us, and he takes care of us. Now, we can do things that will disappoint him, but our salvation is taken care of. The only reason that you have everlasting life is because what God has done for you. The only reason that you can keep your salvation is because of what God has done for you. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3:13 that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Christ hath redeemed us. The word for redeemed means to buy. It is used to describe buying a slave with the idea of giving him his freedom. Here we are, sinners. We have broken God's law, and because of that, we are headed to hell. The law was never meant to save us. The law was made by God to show us that we are sinners. So we are under the curse of the law, but Christ came to this earth and paid the price to redeem us and to set us free. Sometimes a person will say to me, I can see how that Jesus forgives me of all of my sins that I have committed when I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, but how about the sins that I commit from that point on? Remember this, when Jesus died on that cross, he died for your sins also. All of your sins that he died for hadn't even been committed yet. You weren't even born yet. So all of your sins were future sins to him, but he still paid the price for you and for your sins, all of them. This is one of the reasons that the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 5:13 that we can know that we have everlasting life. If you would like more information about this ministry, be sure to check out our website at makeitclearnow.org. Our website has many features such as how to go to heaven, how to memorize the Bible, and now you can listen to this week's broadcast online from our ministry page. If you would like to help support this ministry so that we can be on other stations to spread God's Word, you can send a tax-deductible gift to Make It Clear Ministries, 5823 Highway 4 West, Baker, Florida, 32531. As always, we welcome your comments and questions. You can write to us or you can email us at makeitclear@aol.com. So until next time, take care and God bless.